You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week we're focusing on the art of well-being, emotional intelligence, balance, and having a positive perspective. This week, focusing on hope. And we have a very special guest who just wrote a book about hope, Anne Lamott. Welcome.
Thank you.
The book is called Almost Everything, Notes on Hope, and you were in Ann Arbor last month for two sold-out events, so I hope you had a good time, enjoyed your visit, and your book is described as a profound and funny book, so tell us more about that.
Well, it's a book that I hope that is really every single thing I know about life that I wanted to write for my 9-year-old grandson and my 15-year-old niece to give them hope when things seem most dire. My 15-year-old, of course, thinks that she's defective. She's way too big. Her feet are too big. It's all hopeless. And my 9-year-old is going to be 29 when the absolutely cataclysmic effects of climate change are felt, according to the UN report. And I just wanted them to say, you know, we've been here before. It's awful. It's appropriate to be scared or angry. And here are the things that have really, really helped me over time when, you know, here's this little battered little toolbox of things that have really helped me centered and present and hopeful.
Such as?
Well, such as knowing that everybody is pretty much the same on the outside, and that if you're in high school and you think certain people are doing so well, or they're beautiful, or they're cheerleaders, or they have money or whatever, get to know them. That, and don't compare your insides to their outsides, because no matter how beautifully they've gotten the surface of their life inside, they're just like you. They're afraid sometimes, they're angry sometimes, they're confused, they're grief-struck. Everybody, it's a human condition, and that all truth is paradox. And if you think you know something and things seem so dire and hopeless, that actually mixed into that, marbled into that, like in cake batter, is a lot of grace and a lot of light and warmth and illumination, and we stick together, and we're going to be okay no matter what, and no matter what it looks like. One of my young ones to know that laughter is carbonated holiness, and that if they can find a couple of friends on this side of eternity with whom they can laugh, they're halfway home.
Yeah, laughter is carbonated holiness. Is that an Anne Lamott phrase?
Yeah.
And you talk a lot in the book about how our happiness and our joy and our inner peace and our hope comes from the inside. It seems like a lot of us reach outside of ourselves for that, but you're saying it's really from the inside?
I'm really saying that self-respect and self-esteem are both inside jobs, and that almost all of us were raised to believe that if we achieved highly enough, if we were stars, if we were the top of our class, if we kept our weight down, if we found the right partner, if we this, if we that, then it would fill the Swiss cheese inside of our souls. And it doesn't. It never was going to. But no one mentioned that. And so we all danced as fast as we could to achieve more, to accumulate more, to do this as if, you know, the world was the FDA stamp of approval. And it was always an inside job. The world didn't have the respect to offer you that you long for. But you and a very small community of friends could fill you, could heal you, could help you feel that you deserve to be here, and that you're just a person in whom one might take delight. Maybe your parents didn't feel that way, but we do.
I hear you, and that's why we do this episode of Art and Soul about well-being. But do you find some people don't want to be uplifted or encouraged, and how do you deal with that?
Well, I can't get anybody to want to be uplifted. Not one single person in the history of light has ever gotten anyone else sober. But what you can do is to be the message that no matter what happens, I don't give up. I always have hope. I always have faith in the precious community. I always have faith in civil rights and in justice and in love. And I believe that love bats last, and that no matter what it looks like, there is help on the way. There's the cavalry. And if you don't want it, that's fine. One of the reasons I wrote this book was because I was getting so sick with my own hatred and judgment and my solutions to the problems that the world is going through right now. I've always heard that it's not our problems that are the problem, it's our solutions. which is either to do better, do more, go on a diet, get a loan, whatever. And my solutions never work. But these community solutions always work. And it doesn't work, you know, today, right after lunch. It works in its own time, but we show up and we add goodness, we add laughter, we add money. It's like that old kid's story of Stone Soup, which I actually wrote about in almost everything, too, that what are you bringing to the common well? What are you bringing to the big pot of soup for the community? Bring what you have to offer. We accept it, we are glad for it, and we will see that it is used to help someone, and we don't even know who that, you don't have to know who that's going to be.
You mentioned everything going on around us in our country right now. How do you stay strong in hope with all that is going on?
I register voters. I really encourage people taking care of the poor. I encourage people to take care of the elderly. This is no longer a country where it's safe to be very old or very little. And so I help people figure out who they can serve that day, who is not going to be served otherwise, who may go hungry, who's going to be very lonely and scared and without any hope at all. I practice radical self-care. I fill up. I get myself a cup of tea. I always try to get a little bit of writing done because that will change my whole day. I sit down no matter what to get. I keep my butt in the chair. I teach little kids how to do that too because their world is going to be extremely weird. And writing always helps. Writing is always the answer. I try to help people understand that the publication will probably not fill up all their Swiss cheesy holes, but that writing will, that co-creation will, dancing will, singing will.
How did you, Anne Lamott, get to this perspective? Were you born this way, or did you struggle and come out on the other side with this?
I think everybody struggles. I was born extremely anxious, but I said in almost everything that I do think we're designed for hope and joy, and that my childhood was very scary. For me, I was very different. I looked very different, and my parents were miserably unhappy with each other, and there was alcohol and black belt codependence, and I learned these very crazy survival techniques that didn't actually work. And I got sober 32 years ago, and when I got sober, people helped me sort of look at some of those old survival techniques and give them up and to realize they hadn't worked at when I was 8 years old and they weren't going to work at 32. So I learned what does work, and what works is love and self-love and finding a precious community and serving the poor, getting out of yourself to become a person for others, and creation, co-creation helps, writing, art, it all, we stick together, that helps. Certain things really do help and work, and they will right now.
The book is called Almost Everything, Notes on Hope. We've been talking to author Anne Lamott. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition.
Thank you so much for having me.